He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and absent audience member.
That is apropos.
Oh.
And he is Aubrey Goodman, web services and web dev extraordinaire and promiscuous presenter. That just means you present a lot, right? Let's say that. Not presenter on promiscuity. That's
maybe another talk.
Different thing. But this is a promiscuous podcast that we call Pistilled Distilled. Thank you for coming in here with us. By the way, now you can find us online.
You can.
At distilledradio.com.
It's wrong. It's actually distilledpodcast.com.
Distilledpodcast.com.
I should buy Radio, though.
Yes.
Note to self.
Note to self.
Hey, production designer. Oh, wait. No, that's me.
Yeah. Oh, whoa. So distilledpodcast.com or at distilledradio on Twitter.
Which is because distilledpodcast doesn't fit in the Twitter allowed characters for a handle.
Really?
It's one too many.
Oh, look at that.
So we can have distilled podcasts.
Or distilled PCast, but that's probably a whole different
thing. Yeah, nobody wants that.
No.
I mean, no.
No.
We already did an episode about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. For more on that, see...
our entire catalog.
That's right. But either way, you can get to either one of us individually. If you have a personal rant or death threat that you would like to deliver, you can do that to me at JWD2A on Twitter and Aubrey at Aubrey Goodman on Twitter. And the podcast, well, you found it, so we don't have to tell you where it is. But just go to distilledpodcast.com to find it. That's right. How nice. We're so hip and up with the tech now. It's like we work in
shit.
Technology or something. It's so funny, right? Like, it takes you so fucking long to make your own website when you do this. You spend all day building this shit for other people. And it's like, well, I'll work on mine tomorrow.
Isn't that the mechanics dilemma? Yeah. He fixes other people's cars all day, so his car's a beater.
Always broken, right, yeah. Yeah, or the cobbler's kids have no shoes. Uh-huh. That's right, yeah.
Baker's kids, no, they're always fat.
Our exceptions to this rule, folks. That's right.
Apologies to any bakers.
Right.
And their family.
But please bring us bread. We'll redact that statement if you deliver 45 loaves of freshly baked bread, too.
Mm.
Yeah. We should have a bread sponsor. We should have any sponsor.
We should.
Really, when it comes right down to it.
Opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at all this space. You could be the first. And what a position to be in to be the first sponsor of Distilled. We have very reasonable ad rates. So please get in touch with us now at distilledpodcast.com.
Yeah.
That ends the intro, advertising, and promotional slot piece. We'll now go to a break and be back for the final segment.
No.
Okay.
No. We're not that grown up yet.
Oh,
we have
gotcha.
To actually have sponsors, Justin.
Right.
We can't sponsor ourselves.
See?
Although you could plug Drawer now if you wanted to.
That's right. We'll be right back from this break. Okay, well, you could have heard something. So if that was uncomfortable for you as it was us, please put your commercial there.
So this week, speaking of uncomfortable, because somebody, you? I guess, was out of town or something.
Yeah, something about clients in Nashville.
Blah, 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 blah. We had a lovely event called Ignite Tampa here in lovely Tampa Bay. This year, it was at the Cuban Club in Ybor City, and we had some really great speakers this year. This was last Thursday. I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I hope you were there, and if you were there, then you had a great experience, and if you were not, then you were waiting with bated breath, hoping that we might tell you more about it. So that's it for this episode. No, just kidding.
There you go, folks. I wasn't there. I saw the tweets. Obviously.
There were many. That hashtag is still active.
I didn't follow the hashtag. I really should have followed the hashtag, which is funny because I was probably about that time trying to explain to my mom what a hashtag was and why it's valuable.
That could have been
and
great.
She just did not understand it. And I could have been like, look, I want to see everything's happening at Ignite Tampa. Boom, example.
Context specific learning.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I did not have the foresight to do that. But But I saw some of the tweets, and I read a blog post last night about it that went through every single talk and
that
gave a little review.
Joey Davila's?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The accordion guy.
That's
it. I believe is his Twitter
I had
handle.
Never. I have never met him.
He used to be an evangelist for, I want to say, Groove Shark, or possibly not.
Really?
That sounds wrong, actually.
Huh.
But he was a technology evangelist. He would go to events like Bar Camp and bring his accordion and talk about his company.
Interesting. I need some evangelists.
I'm sure he's available for hire.
Well, I don't. It's this whole hire piece that really gets me. I need intern evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
That's an
You know you get what you pay for.
Yeah, well, that is true. That is true. So give us the recap. walk through all 20. Give us...
Yeah, I'll just remember. I have that
5-minute
elephant's memory, so I'll just remember line by line everybody's...
That's right.
Everybody's talk.
So what were the highlights?
So the first half, there were... I think we kicked off with... I want to say a... young woman in high school.
Really?
Who talked about civic engagement.
God.
See.
People are thinking about so much more than I thought
I know.
About when I was in high school.
All I was thinking about was like playing bass and getting blowjobs when I was in high school.
Pretty much.
No, I'm vastly overstating my case. I didn't even think about blowjobs.
Yeah. Pretty much playing bass, and that's bass saxophone.
I think the world is a lot smaller and a lot bigger at the same time now than it was when we were younger. It's smaller in the sense that there's a lot more competition, but it's larger in the sense that there's a lot more competition. So it's smaller, you meet more people, there's more connectedness because of social media and digital technologies and things like that, but it's also so much more challenging because of the sheer volume of other applicants that they could be choosing.
Right.
So, instead of tweeting, there was no tweeting when we were in high school, but
no.
Instead of whatever we did.
Right.
I can't even
I don't know
remember
what we
it
did,
anymore.
Really?
It was almost 20 years ago.
Right. We probably didn't do anything. We just sort of like loped around and skated into college.
Yeah.
Can't do that now. Now most universities require 4.0 to get in.
It's amazing. I think I had probably a close to a 4.0 in high school.
I didn't. I had a 3.31.
Terrible. Mine, I don't know, 3.something. Yeah. Not 4.0. I know some people who graduated high school with higher than 4.0s.
Oh, yeah, because damn AP classes.
AP classes count as 5
right.
somehow.
My wife might have been one of them. Or she had like, no, she was like a 3.8 or 3.9. Asshole. Yeah. She reminds me of that occasion.
Overachieving person.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of overachieving, I won't skip to my talk just yet. That would be incredibly,
that would be
incredibly egocentric, which is funny because that's kind of what my talk was about. at least the death of the ego and letting that go and being more willing to be vulnerable. But enough about me. So the first half, again, it was, we started off with a very lovely young lady talking about some really interesting things. Jessica Bellman talked about entrepreneurship kind of backing into success.
Yep.
You know, you don't necessarily, jump over an obstacle and there's the win. Like you have to work a little harder than that.
Yep. Yep.
There's a lot of perseverance and et cetera. Skipping over a few, there was one about brutal honesty, about how being...
That was Roy Stegman.
Yes.
Yes.
So being brutally honest is often helpful and not unhealthy is what I mean. A lot of people think that, especially these days in the age of politically correctness and being unwilling to say what you really think, sometimes it's important to just burst someone's bubble early.
Yes. I thought it was funny in the spirit of all of that. I was reading the blog post. And did you read his blog post, Joey's?
I did, yeah.
Did you read his thing on Roy? Where he made a comment halfway through and he was like, the beginning of the presentation was really good, but it started to wander near the middle. So in the spirit of Roy's talk, I when I was at Microsoft, I cut better presenters than him. Or something like that. It was something like that. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Here we are.
It was a little unpleasant. I mean, uncomfortable, I guess. Not unpleasant. For Roy, I think. Because he was a full 30 seconds ahead of his slides for a little while. And he looked back at his slides and just went, okay. And just stood there.
Oh,
for a few seconds. And it was really quite awkward, I think, for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe
no doubt.
Maybe almost as much for the audience.
Yeah.
No doubt it was... There's nobody more uncomfortable in that moment than Roy. But...
man.
But, you know, he soldiered through it and you know, he ended up getting the point across in a clear way. And, you know, it's so hard, especially when you're... I don't want to say just starting out, but there's something special about that camera, that like lights, camera, action, go. And it's like, no pressure. No, seriously, go.
Yeah, right.
it's now or never.
Yeah.
That is a crippling.
It's hard. I mean, and that's the whole thing about Ignite. And by the way, for those of you who don't know what Ignite is, and we sort of jumped in without giving you context, if you'd never heard of
what?
Ignite.
Context.
No, that's not important. Ignite is essential. I think of it, frankly, as like a presentation competition. It's not a competition because you don't compete, but it's a presentation event. It's an event about presenting. Mm-hmm. And it's done in a very interesting format. The way that it works is, every speaker has 5 minutes to talk. It's timed. You have 20 slides, and they advance every 20 seconds. Is that right?
15.
15 seconds. Every 15 seconds. And
so right now you're onto your second slide, and I've already lost track.
Yeah, exactly.
See how hard that is,
yeah,
folks?
It's very difficult, right? And so
and
20
if you don't
slides,
leave it
15.
Out,
yeah.
You just kept further and further and further behind.
It's
and
very hard.
Somebody did that.
Oh, yeah. And that's what will happen. And so it's a lesson in, it's really a lesson in a rehearsal. You have to rehearse.
You, have
you
to
can't
practice.
Do it without
practice
rehearsing.
Practice a lot. A whole lot.
It's a lesson in scripting and segues and writing, really, as much as it is about presenting, right? Because you have to think, I want to make a point in 5 minutes divided by 20. what are all the important building blocks to that? It's not how we normally put together presentations, right? It's a really great thing. I've spoken at four of them, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. I'm only up to two. Somebody had to take over while you were out of town.
That's right. I know. I wanted to, you know, give everybody a break. I've spoken at one, two, three.
I thought it was
four.
Three.
I spoke three here, and I spoke of one in Nashville
and elsewhere. Okay.
Yeah.
That's another thing. This is a national event.
Yep.
It's not like national. Everybody has one on the same day, but it is much like TEDx,
right,
where they're independently, locally produced and funded and organized events.
Right.
And so we did two rounds of 10. We have a MC that comes on, warms up the crowd, and then they go right into the talks, and it's do or die. There's one presentation, and it's auto-advancing until the intermission, and there's 10 people in line.
That's right.
So
yeah, so even the segues take
the segues,
like, you know.
Yeah, if somebody goes a little long, which somebody did, it was like, oh boy, you're about to run out of that second buffer slide. You're 30 seconds over. That's,
right.
That's the beginning of the next person's talk.
Right, yeah.
And I think that happened with Greg Ross Monroe.
Okay.
Who came on. I thought he was my favorite of the night, and not just
riddled
because
with expletives. I heard,
he of course, drops the F bomb at like the third word.
Right,
it's like, are you fucking ready? Or something like that, or something. I don't know exactly, but it's funny too. It's like I was so focused on my experience, my preparation, and everything that I really didn't have that great a time. I don't remember all of everybody's talks because
right.
I'm so focused on. It's like I'm, you know, I got 10 minutes and then it's go time. And
right.
So the last two, the two before me, I'm not even really sure I remember them at all. Sorry.
No, what number were you out of 20?
I was the third in the second half.
Okay. Got
so
it. Number 13.
13.
Ooh,
yeah.
Lucky number.
Lucky
13.
Number 13. That's my birthday, which is great.
Oh,
and
no.
I talked about my birthday, but again, it's not about me. So Greg, was up on stage, very full stage presence as he always does. And, full of real expletives, as it were.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was really inspiring, really funny, and just the kind of thing that I've come to expect from him and from Ignite. There was my top three after Greg would have gone Michael Johnson, who did a talk about Be Here Now, was the title, Be Here Now, and it was yep. all about his struggle with his child whom he delivered in the car on the way to the hospital.
Now I remember reading the and brief of that.
My son was born in a dramatic way and was in the hospital for 2 weeks and came home during a hurricane. So,
perfect.
You know, it was a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
And then the surrounding stuff, which will never be on this podcast because I'm going to write a book about it eventually. Stay tuned for that some year. you know, the rest of my marriage was rather tumultuous, and especially the end. But so this experience of being in the NICU with my son and having gone through that and knowing how stressful and chaotic that can be, I can't even imagine how much harder it would have been if we were driving to the driving to the hospital. Okay, see you later,
baby. If you
were
driving to the airport, it probably would have been even more stressful.
Yeah. But getting the almost all the way there, he said he got within a mile of the hospital before his wife started crowning, and he's like, okay, pulling over to pull the baby, like to catch the baby because he's coming now. And it's like,
wild
if you're not
that
here
that,
now, it's, where are you?
Weird sidebar, but it's wild that that can actually happen. I mean, like, you hear about people, like, being in labor for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it could happen within 20 minutes.
It's happening without you.
Right.
There's no pushing. I mean, I guess she's pushing because she has to.
Right.
But at the same time, she really doesn't want to because she's in a car.
Right.
And she would rather do that in a clean
crazy.
Hospital environment and not...
Right.
Not
a
halfway,
roadside.
Like, yeah, in...
I'm assuming then they got to have an ambulance get there quite quickly.
I don't. He didn't go into that detail. Honestly think that did happen.
I think
it was like finish and then like, okay, well now we get back in the car and continue to the hospital.
Wow.
To get there. I think he went through that
a little bit
in the talk and I might have glazed over that from preparing.
Holy cow.
But that was really inspiring, really humbling, and kind of puts you in your place when you're like, when you hear stories like that and think, man, my life isn't actually as dramatic and stressful as I maybe thought it was.
Right.
Which is good. And coming from me, that's a big statement. So that was really nice. Sorry for the folks I'm glossing over, but at the end of the first half, Sean Morris gave a talk about general well-being and fitness and being present in your life, making choices and not just living your life, but actively choosing things, saying to yourself, is this the lifestyle I wanted? If in 10 or 15, 20 years from now, do I still want to be making these food choices or these exercise choices?
Right.
So if the answer isn't, fuck yeah, then maybe you don't have to make changes.
Start to work your way toward that
right?
direction.
Exactly. And Sean
That's
interesting. A really great guy. He trains people in martial arts and you know, that kind of lifestyle in Sarasota, where he lives in a house called Danger House. He is a 6-time veteran of American Ninja Warrior. He's gotten to the finals four times, I think.
And wow.
So you know, he has some great videos on YouTube you know, about like the application process to American Ninja Warrior. And of course, you know, in true ninja style, he finished off his talk by dragging a slack line or a tight
rope. I saw a picture of that, yeah.
And proceeded to do some balancing, showing off on the tightrope, and then did a forward flip off the stage to end the first half.
Wow.
And then we went into intermission, people mingling, drinking a lovely Cigar City beer. Thanks again to Cigar City for igniting. Oh, look at that. I was going to say sponsoring, but that actually works better.
Yeah,
for igniting our passions for listening to other people talk about theirs.
Oh, so they came and served beer. That's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, that was a nice little intermission. And then I want to say the second half, I think the second half was better.
Yeah.
There were definitely moments of people dragging on and on and on in the first and the second half.
Sure.
Just people who, you know, maybe didn't practice as much as they should have or at all. And
or just not presenters by nature.
Yeah. I think it isn't so much the presenter by nature thing. I really do think there's, like you said, it's about practicing. It's about mm-hmm. diligence and making sure that you're putting on a show, because that's what you're there for. You're not just there to read slides and, you know,
stare at an entertainment event.
It's an entertainment event. It's a passion speech mm-hmm. entertainment event. And so it's nice to see people, you know, bringing their passions and not just reading from a slide.
Right.
Virginia Barnett was in the second half.
Yep.
She was a pickup. She picked up one of the slots and she did a great job with only 4 days notice. And
yeah,
she was on time and had, you know, great slides, great story. I mean, I love her. She's wonderful. And she's doing some great work with Great Code, GR8Code. Mm-hmm. It's a summer camp for kids to learn how to code and just, you know, about that whole industry. Who else was noteworthy? Mark Lombardi was my third favorite. He talked about monthly challenges, how he went vegan for a month.
Oh, yeah, I saw that
totally
too.
Totally suffered
that
through
cool.
it.
Yep.
he's a big fan of trying things for a month. You know, if you've never tried something, get out there and just set a goal, set a simple goal, and do it every day for a month and see how it changes your life.
Tim Ferriss talked about doing that in 4-Hour Work Week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talked about vulnerability and how wearing armor isolates you instead of mm-hmm. protecting you. I mean, it does protect you, but, you know, maybe you don't need protecting, and mm-hmm. How it's much more fun to wear mud. I showed some pictures of muddy dogs that looked really happy.
Nice.
And nice. I told my story about wrecking my car and almost dying and losing some grandparents, and it was a rough year, 2013. Yeah. And so I got into that, and I was amazed. I mean, there was a lot of people who were really just floored. Taylor Wallace, who actually spoke last year at Ignite, his talk was about the Jabberwock.
Right.
The Jabberwocky.
Jabberwock.
Poem.
From that's the one. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. He came up to me after, and he's like, holy shit, dude, that was amazing. I've just totally changed my whole perception of you. It's like, I never thought of you in this light. That was just completely amazing. Oh my God. And yeah. I mean, I was really humbled by the response that I got. Everybody seemed to say they really loved it. And I had a lot of people come up to me after and shake my hand and say, you know, great job. And thanks for doing that. And that must've been really hard. And
that's cool.
And so I'm looking forward to the video. And so someday before the end of my life, there will be video available of this.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing it.
I'm trying to think who else was up there. Oh, Ashok Gautam was up there. He was talking about Thai. That's the Indus entrepreneur. Is that right?
Tampa?
I thought it was just the.
Is it just the?
I thought Thai was a national thing.
Oh, maybe it is.
Whatever it is, Thai, T-I-E.
Yep.
He is, I guess, the chair of that now, or maybe former chair. And he talked about entrepreneurship and, you know, fostering that and mm-hmm. you know, building community and, you know, all the things we talk about here.
Right. And he had some dancers come out.
And he had some Bollywood dancers, which was really quite lovely.
Yep.
And
yep.
of course that got a great laugh and got the crowd woken up, because I think that was about, I think he went middle of the second half.
Okay. Yeah.
So by that point, people
Everybody's starting to
get a little
worn out,
maybe a little drunk, maybe a little tired of hearing people's passions. And especially, you know, in those uncomfortable moments, they're like, oh man, this is rough. But, there were some, let's see, I'm sorry for the people I'm leaving out, but, there were, I think all of the speakers, the list of speakers is available on ignitetampa.org. If you'd like to go check that out. And I'm sure eventually that will be where the YouTube links are, and everything's going up. All the video was professionally recorded. And so they're editing that, and they're going to be publishing that on Ignite Show, which is a national Ignite circuit where they collect all of the Ignite events from all over the country. And
and then we should do a Ignite Redux here, where we show them all again.
That would be great. And now we have
pizza and drink and forward through the awkward ones. And
or maybe we just, I don't know. It could be an interesting idea. I like this idea where maybe we invite everybody who was a speaker to come here, show their talks. We all have like a little, you know, kind of a private event. Mm-hmm. Talk about what, you know, learn from. Maybe we do it as part of the Geekend thing where we, you know, pizza and pitch and show some. Some of those. And we don't have to do it as one event. Maybe we like
a
spread
series.
Them out over, you know, a couple of months or something. I don't know. It's we're not going to have another event until, you know, at least 6 months a year from now. So I think they're only doing them once a year.
I think only once a year. Yeah.
Which I like because it gives me time to prepare.
Yeah. I know I'm a little remiss that I was out of town. I just had a culmination of lots of different scheduling conflicts that snapped up. But I... I think I would have liked to, because I have always, in the past three Ignites that have happened in Tampa, and in fact, so Joey's post said it was the second annual. That's obviously not correct. Peter chimed in, Peter Radiszewski chimed in the comments and said actually it's the fourth annual.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's also wrong. It's actually the fifth annual.
Was there one...
There was
that I don't know about?
Yes. Because I spoke at it. Because I flew down from Nashville to speak at it.
Yeah. We've talked about this.
We talked
about this last year, actually.
I probably so. It's my perennial gripe. And you know what? The person who should be pissed is Dan Denny, because Dan Denny's the one who organized it. It happened at this little bitty art studio down in St. Pete. There were like, I don't know, 20 people there, 40 people there, something small. But anyway, regardless, of all the ones that have happened in Tampa, I've spoken at all of them until this one, right? And that may not be true. And then the other one, the ones in Nashville I spoke at, and it was like its first year when I spoke at it, I don't think I've been to an Ignite where I wasn't speaking at it. And that's not to say... Oh, look at me. I speak at all these nights. That's not really what that's about.
I'm a big fucking rock star.
Right. I mean, that's true, but let's be fair. That's not the point. No.
Who isn't a rock star around here?
Right. Actually, I think the one that was at the old Quorum Hotel, I did not speak at.
Mm.
But I just moved to Tampa and I was distracted. But
there's always an excuse for everything.
There's always an excuse for everything. I really... was looking forward to the opportunity to go and just sit and not think about speaking. Because when you're a speaker, it sort of overtakes your mind. All you're thinking about is my talk before your talk. And then after you're just thinking about my talk. Like, my talk?
Right. Where did I fuck it up?
Right.
How did I do it?
Instead of just going and just like listening and just enjoying it as an entertainment event. And I sort of, I'm sad that I missed that. So I look forward to it next year. Maybe I just won't ever speak in another night. I'll just always.
You do pass the torch.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done my two rounds. I did one 2 years ago and one this year. And
maybe Eagle will get the best of me next year and I'll probably do it anyway. But I don't know. Either way. It's a great event. If you get a chance to go to Ignite in whatever city you're in, most of you are probably in Tampa, but if you have one and you're in a different city or you want to travel to another city like Orlando, Miami, something like that, I mean, I'm sure they happen in most major cities now. And they're just fantastic. So look it up. It's a great event to go to. Can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. So any parting words?
I think those were them.
They were them.
Those were they.
So, okay. I guess we can inspire people to, at a minimum, go and experience an Ignite event. You know, if you can find one locally, that's great. And more than that, sign up for a talk, because you will learn so much about yourself. It's uncanny.
It's a very humbling experience, because no matter how good you are at speaking, this will kick your ass, and you will find that out when you start to practice it, and you go, holy shit, 15 seconds goes by really, really fast. It's about two sentences.
Three is an upper bound.
Yeah.
To be sure.
Do it, see it, make it happen.
Love it.
Love it. Ignite it.
And thanks for listening, folks.
See you guys.
See you next week.